Hi, Mort.
Hi.
My name's Bob.
Okay, Bob.
And I'm on the Lone Ranger track. And due to some inappropriate relationships that I've had, and I've turned things around, and my wife has told me to stop giving gifts, and I've handed her a bank receipt, and she quickly grabbed it to avoid a touch charge. Should I continue doing these things? She started to give me the gift back until I asked her to look at it, and then she realized it was pictures of our boys umpiring a baseball game together for the first time. And she said they were good pictures and thanked me, and I said, "You're welcome," and she shut the door. So I don't know if I should continue doing these things that you're suggesting, if it's going to make things worse. And, you know, I want to try to figure out how to get her to join me into a dual track, but she's so obstinate and cold, I don't know.
Okay, hold on. That's a completely different question. But your first question is probably the most important question that's going to be asked. Let's go with that one. I really encourage everybody to listen very, very carefully to Bob's question and, most importantly, to my response, because Bob's question is pretty much everybody's question. And the answer to it is some of the most important advice and the most important insights that you're going to get in the whole program. Your spouse is telling themselves a story. And that story is what they're using to justify what they're doing, to clear their conscience, and to pave the way for them to exit the marriage, have an affair, whatever it is they're doing. Now, guess who the villain of that story is? It's you. You're the villain of that story. And what they need more than anything in the world right now, what your spouse wants, is for you to cooperate with that story. It's to leave it alone, to let their justification stand. That story is built on a whole marital history, right? They're pointing to all of these things that happened, all these things that you did or didn't do, all these things you said or didn't say. And it's with all those details that they've put together this story that they're using to clear their conscience and justify their actions. And what they need more than anything in the world right now is for that story to stay intact. And what they need you to do in order for that story to stay intact is one of two things. Either be a jerk, which from their perspective is what's occurred over the last 10 years, or just leave them alone. Do nothing. Let's just drill down a little further into those two to make sure you understand it. Why would you, being a jerk, keep that story intact and sustain their justification? Because from their perspective, it's just more of the same. It continues to validate the choice that they've made and the justification they feel in behaving the way they're behaving, whether they're having an affair, exiting the marriage, separating, whatever. The other possibility, which is not as easy to see, which is why it's the much more important one from my perspective, from an educational perspective, is that you doing nothing would serve the same purpose for them, because that marital history remains intact. There's nothing to challenge it. That's why very often the obstinate spouse is saying, leave me alone, give me space. You know, in Bob's case, don't give me gifts, don't call me, right? Don't touch me, right? Of course that's what they're going to say, because they are going to try desperately to get you to cooperate with their story and to keep you in line. They don't want you to change. Your job, my friends, is to ruin their story. I want to say that again. Your job is to us in the program is, in a sense, how to go about doing that. But that is the essence of the process that you have to go through over the next few months. There's going to be a bit of a power struggle between you and your spouse. Your spouse is going to try to keep this story intact because they can't exit the marriage, they can't have an affair, they can't do whatever they're doing without this story. Because they wouldn't feel right about themselves. They wouldn't feel that they had a clear conscience. So they're going to try to keep that story intact, and therefore, they're going to try to discourage you from all the efforts you're making. They're going to try to derail you. They're going to tell you it's too late. They're going to tell you I'm done. They're going to tell you, you know, this is all great what you're doing. It'll be great for your next husband or wife. They're going to tell you this is great. I'm so glad. I hope it makes you happy, but we're over. They're going to say, first of all, let me take the opportunity to make an important related point. If you're in a Lone Ranger track, don't listen so much to your spouse. The obstinate spouse never says what's true. They say what they think they have to say to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish. And in most cases, what they're trying to accomplish is keeping their story intact, which means derailing you from the efforts that you're making. So don't overanalyze what they're saying to you, because it's designed to discourage you. It's designed to derail you. It's designed to get you to cooperate with them to keep that story intact. But your job is to ruin that story. Your job is to begin to build a new marital history, to kill them with kindness, to establish patterns of behavior that don't look anything like the way you have been over the years, and that begin to create interactions between the two of you that are new as well, that essentially don't match with that history, that are in conflict with that story. And the more consistent you are, the more you build that new marital history, the more time goes by, the more that history will begin to trump the old marital history that they're using to build their story, and the more that story just begins to fall apart. Now, I want you to appreciate something really important. On the one hand, your goal is to ruin that story. Your goal is to build a new marital history that causes that story to fall apart. On the other hand, while you go about doing that, your spouse is going to hate you for it. They're going to be very frustrated, and they are going to... You want to see desperation. They are going to desperately try to get you back in line, to get you to stumble, to get you to stop your efforts. They're going to tempt you and push your buttons so that you begin to behave as you have behaved, so that they can say, see, nothing's changed. See, you're no different. And this is why things always get worse before they get better. Because the path to better has to go through this process of ruining their story. And as you begin to do that, they're going to start to freak out. They are going to start to feel like they're losing the most important thing that's part of their plan, which is their emotional justification for the plan. And they're going to get angry, and they're going to get upset, and they're going to do everything in their power to get you to stop. It is so crucial that you see this for what it is, and don't stop. There's a power struggle that's going to go on here, and trust me, the first one who caves loses. They're going to try to get you to stop. And you, as you kill them with kindness, as you form this new marital history, you're going to be seriously tugging on their conscience. You see, they don't mind having an affair. They don't mind filing for divorce they don't mind ignoring you as long as they feel justified in doing it. As long as they can point to this whole marital history that angers them and frustrates them and says, and then they can say to themselves, you deserve it. But the more time goes by, that person who built that marital history just isn't around anymore. I mean, you're a new wife. You're a new husband. You're killing them with kindness. You're forming superstar marital habits. You're extending constant gestures of kindness. Your unconditional love is just overwhelming. Now your spouse doesn't feel so justified in having an affair, talking to the kids, filing for divorce, or whatever the case may be. In fact, on the contrary, now they start to feel a little guilty. They don't feel right about treating somebody so horribly when that person is treating them like a king or a queen. And they start to look for relief. They want to get out from under that guilt and that pressure. There's only two ways out. It's important you see this. There's only two ways for them to get relief from that pressure. One we've already talked about, and that is to get you to cooperate, to get you to get back in line. And that's the path they're going to try first. And they're going to try it, by the way, it could be months. Months they're going to reject you. They're going to reject you. They're going to try to convince you that it's over. They're going to try to convince you that it would just be better if you would just leave them alone. They'll even say things like, if you do leave me alone and give me space, who knows, maybe I'll find you again, maybe I'll miss you. They'll say all this ridiculous stuff. They're becoming a master salesman. Don't buy it. They're desperate for you to get off their conscience. Don't stop. Don't get off. This is the single most important dynamic that's going to unfold in your situation over the course of the next few months. The only other way your spouse will ever get relief from their conscience, if you don't stop, is for them to start to treat you decent, maybe even reciprocate. You know, in my experience, when the obstinate spouse starts to do that, you realize they do it not because they're feeling differently about you. They do it because they want to feel differently about themselves. But that's okay. I don't care why they start to treat you differently. I just want them to start to treat you differently. And those actions will lead to them having different feelings about you. But it's important that you not stop, and that you continue to behave in ways that ruin their story, and that you accurately interpret their negative response. Actually, this gives me the opportunity to make a very important related point, which is, don't look to your spouse's response or reaction as an indicator for how you're doing. And the reason for that now should be clear. Your spouse's response or reaction to what you're doing is a horrible indication of how you're doing. Very often, it's a better counterindicator, and we just explained why. Although, let me just make it crystal clear. Why is it a great counterindicator? Because in the examples I just gave, if you'll say your spouse is saying, you know, just leave me alone, give me space, you know, because what your spouse wants is for you to concede to their agenda, just give up on the marriage. And if you did that, they would probably be quite pleased with you, cordial. They don't want anger. They don't want to fight. They want to be able to claim that we were divorced amicably. And so if you leave them alone and basically take no initiative and do nothing, they're going to respond decently to you. Don't be fooled into thinking that that's good. That's not good. That's terrible. You're basically holding their hand and taking them right to divorce. You're giving them exactly what they need, and that's why they're pleased with you. And the opposite is true also. When you ruin their story, they're going to be very frustrated and angry. And yet that's exactly what you have to do in order to make progress on your situation. So very often your spouse's response is a counterindicator to how you're doing. This is one of the most common mistakes that people in situations like yours are making, which is they're looking too carefully at their spouse's response as an indication for the progress they're making. And it's a terrible indication. It's actually interesting. Sometimes people will say to me, you're all probably, if you were speaking to me, you all would probably say this. My husband, my wife, doesn't want me to do XYZ. I never quite understand that comment. I don't see how it's relevant. Who cares? I didn't ask your husband. I didn't ask your wife what they want. What they want is a divorce. What they want is to have an affair. What they want is to separate. Why would you think that your objective here is to somehow give your spouse what they want? You have to accept from the get-go that you have conflicting agendas right now. And the things that I'm going to advise you to do that are going to help you move the needle towards reconciliation are not going to be the things that your spouse wants you to do. I admit it. It's not a secret. So what? The question is not, what does my spouse want me to do? The question is, what's going to be effective? Let me put it to you like this. It's a line worth remembering. Just because they don't want you to do it doesn't mean it's not going to work. Again, just because they don't want you to do it doesn't mean it's not going to work. If you're dealing with an obstinate spouse in the Lone Ranger track, it's not really that relevant what they want. What's relevant is, how should I behave that will help me get from where I am to where I want to be 6 months from now? It actually gives me the opportunity to make another important point. I know you're in a lot of pain, and I know you're desperate for relief, but you have to be very careful not to be so desperate for relief that you behave in ways that gives you temporary relief but is actually not in the best interest of the long-term outcome of your situation. Let me say it differently. I don't really care what the state of your marriage is this week, and neither should you. My goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be 6 months from now. And I know, and you have to know, that to get there, in most situations, things are going to get worse before they get better. It's just the nature of the process. It's just how things unfold. You've got to know it. And you can't be seduced by opportunities for short-term relief that will result in you behaving in ways that actually undermine the ultimate objective you're trying to achieve. In short, your spouse is telling themselves a story that they're going to use to justify their exit and clear their conscience. They're going to do everything in their power to get you to concede to that agenda, to behave in ways that keeps that story intact based on the old marital history. Your job is to ruin that story, to behave in ways that builds a new marital history that's in conflict with the one they're looking at. That's going to drive them nuts. In the short term, it's going to create some frustration for them. Ultimately, it will lead them to treating you differently, which will be the beginning of the turning point.